You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for
neutral
corner. Neutral corner.
Yes.
In one corner we've got Oscar.
Yeah.
In the other corner we've got Lachlan. And in neutral corner we've got Ben.
Well, I mean, if one of you wants to defend like the Russian state, one of you wants to defend the Turkish state, that's what you mean. Because that's not
my two favourite states to defend.
Christ.
Yes.
Anyway, what is neutral corner on?
Oh, yes, it is on an agreement recently reached between those two governments, Russia and Turkey, about the fate of Idlib province in Syria. This is sort of generally seen to be the last quote-unquote rebel-held province in Syria, which you also have Rojava in the north, but I don't think that's quite seen as being part of the rebels for some reason, even though it should.
Very sadly.
Yeah, I mean, they're better than either of them, but that's not neutral.
They go hard. Sorry.
But yeah, they're out there like giving guns to women and stuff. Yeah. It's all good stuff.
Oh, is that the
YPG?
Sort of YPG?
Yeah.
Big granddad.
Technically YPJ if it's women. True. But anyway, but this isn't about that. This is about Idlib province, which was home to about, or is home to about 3 million civilians. A lot of them have fled the conflict in other parts of Syria, and they've all sort of gathered in Idlib, along with really the remnants of all the Free Syrian Army, which really sort of took a turn after about 2012, 2013 towards a more sort of Islamist radical position, often being sort of, I think, secretly supported by outside parties, including Turkey, but also probably Saudi Arabia in the mix. So everyone was assuming that Syria, backed by Russia, was just going to sort of steamroll in here and blow everyone up and probably gas them, although then they'd, of course, deny it. But instead, you've had this agreement. Come on, guys.
Although I've been, apparently it's quite an effective sort of chemical warfare.
No, it isn't.
Well, I was saying...
Well, do you want me to gas you, Locke, and see how well it works?
No, but apparently it's, you know, if you drop it, so it doesn't really spread terribly far.
Yes, it does. Well, like, what do you think they're doing, Lachlan?
Well,
maybe in, like, World War One, yeah, but we've moved on since then.
I guess it's ineffective at targeting, like, specific targets.
Well, it's... Yeah, well, if your specific target is a whole town, then not really.
Which is possibly why it's a war crime, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's still, it quote-unquote works in that it kills a bunch of people and it scares the shit out of them, and you're more likely to give up when you're watching your children, you know, asphyxiate in front of you.
Good points,
but
Ben.
Luckily, this was all seemingly avoided. So really, to contrast, and although you've had Russia and Turkey seemingly agreeing now, there is still a lot of sort of ongoing tension between them. Turkey's a part of NATO. Russia, of course, isn't, with NATO being the big alliance against them. So we'll just contrast here the coverage between the two state broadcasters of Russia and Turkey. First from RT, formerly known as Russia Today, until they changed the name to fool people into thinking they weren't entirely funded by the Russian state.
What is the title now? Is it just RT?
RT, yeah, which is a real pain in the ass to say. But anyway, here we go.
Difficult getting those two letters.
Weeks on end, Idlib dominated headlines. The last stronghold of jihadists, Al-Qaeda, rebels, and the Syrian army was poised, determined to end them. It would have been messy. Would have.
The entire world is following our meeting. The statement that we're going to make after the talks may bring hope to the region.
The presidents of Russia and Turkey spent almost 5 hours closeted away, working out a deal that wouldn't plunge Idlib into bloody chaos. A deal to avert a military operation. A peace deal.
We have decided to create a demilitarized zone along the battle line by the 15th of October. It will be between 15 and 20 kilometers wide. We will move radicalized militants out of this zone, including Jabhat al-Nusra.
Together with Russia, we will make maximum effort to get rid of all radical groups from this territory. Turkey and Russia will both patrol this territory to ensure compliance.
The gist of it is getting radical Islamists, Al-Qaeda in Syria for one, away from the front lines, withdrawing heavy weapons, artillery, tanks, to make sure itchy fingers don't spark any more escalations, opening up the roads, allowing travel through contested territories for civilians, and Russian, Turkish troops would oversee it all, patrol this demilitarized zone. But there are concerns.
Our main concern is that the militants pose a threat to Aleppo province, the city of Aleppo, and to our military compounds in Syria, Tartus and Khmeimim.
The problem is jihadists, who are bent on spoiling any peace effort. They have everything to lose if Idlib falls. It'll mark the end of the Syrian war, their final defeat. Assad knows it wouldn't be easy or clean. He seems to be for this deal. It looks like the military operation has been shelved for now.
Probably it was the best military and diplomatic solution today. The decision is very important indeed. The world was looking there for a military confrontation, civilian casualties, but there is no fight, there is no casualties, there is no military operation. There is no expected clashes between the government forces and the radical groups. In the long run, probably this demilitarized zone will be the way where the radical groups will leave the area, not only the people, but also the weapons.
The Turkish president wasn't exaggerating when he said the world's eyes were on this meeting. Stakes are so high here for the Gulf states, for the West especially. They spent untold billions arming and financing the Syrian rebels, only to lose.
We consider any assault on Idlib to be a reckless escalation of the conflict. If Assad, Russia, and Iran continue down the path they're on, the consequences will be dire. The world will hold them responsible.
How much of that was genuine concern for civilians and how much is bitterness over losing? You decide for yourself.
It's encouraging that we have the discussions that are ongoing, the discussions between Erdogan and President Putin. As you watch what's taking place on the ground, as you start to see the potential of this, and I think the discussions that they're having lead us down a path of the potential that you're going to get something that's less kinetic if they're actually engaged in a level of dialogue.
Nevertheless, the United States Pentagon seem cheered by this latest deal. A bloody battle has been averted, and jihadists are being marginalized. But perhaps most importantly is the precedent for compromise, and that's happened rarely.
So as you heard there, they were really bigging up the sort of jihadist angle, characterizing maybe not all the residents of Idlib as sort of radical Islamists, but certainly saying there's a lot there and that'll probably justify what we were going to do, not that they're going to do it now. And also they're also saying like, oh, it's been a rare compromise. I think they're sort of trying to big up sort of Putin's role as a sort of international statesperson. Meanwhile, because you've got Trump, you know, fucking up over in America. So they're probably trying to contrast him with that.
Neutral corner.
Well,
you're going to get us some angry texts then, Ben.
Good.
God,
that's good. What we want.
What have you done?
Texten.
So who are we contrasting that with?
We're contrasting that with TRT. That's Turkish radio and television. That's Turkey's equivalent of RT. And again, because there's this broad agreement between Turkey and Russia, you're not going to get a dramatic contrast, but you definitely see how TRT does play up more the sort of humanitarian angle over the civilians in Idlib, as opposed to saying like they're all terrorists or sympathizers. And I think this does reflect that Turkey is more or less on the side of the Syrian rebels.
Idlib has been waiting for a massacre, its own. This town and surrounding province are the biggest prize left in Syria, the last major opposition-held stronghold. The regime said it would launch an offensive backed by its allies Russia and Iran to take it, putting its nearly 3 million strong civilian population in the line of fire. But after a deal with Turkey, Moscow says it's ruling out a military campaign.
When Russians and the Assad regime said they were preparing to launch an offensive, businesses in the markets almost stopped. People also started to flee the countryside. Now I think they will breathe a sigh of relief.
The demilitarized zone deal is perfect, especially for civilians and the IDPs. But we call on them to turn their attention to all Syria, not just Idlib.
Those displaced people number around 1.5 million, according to the UN. Some came to Idlib to escape violence elsewhere in the country. Others were forcibly displaced when the regime took areas like eastern Ghouta and Daraya. And with an all-out assault looming, it was feared they would have nowhere else to go, creating a humanitarian catastrophe. Now, Turkey and Russia have agreed to set up a demilitarized buffer zone to separate regime troops from rebels and perhaps avoid an escalation of violence. but not everyone here believes it will make a difference.
The Russians and the Assad regime cannot be trusted. We have known this for 8 years now. We are ready to back the opposition fighters on the front by our popular demonstrations.
The deal between Turkey and Russia could provide some security, but we don't have an atom of trust in the regime. The Syrian people have poured into the streets. We will continue our revolution despite this deal.
For the international community, the deal between Turkey and the regime's main backer is being seen as a possible way forward into a peace process that's been stalled for years.
But for now, we are pleased that there is de-escalation in one major area, Idlib. And now that we have this deal, there is no reason not to move forward expeditiously with the political process.
It's not yet clear how successful Turkey and Russia's plan will be. And after more than 7 years of brutal war and broken promises, this shot at peace seems extraordinarily fragile. Arabella Munro, TRT World.
So right away, you can see that they're probably trying to characterize this deal as a bit more fragile. I mean, that's exactly what she said, that in the case of Russia, which I guess just reflects the fact that in Turkey is more backing the opposition forces who are still in a sort of more vulnerable position than the regime, which controls, I think, about 60% of Syria now, which is, you know, a lot. And that when they talked to people, what they were more concerned about was that it was, you know, that we don't like the government, the government's coming to kill us, which I think, yeah, again, does reflect Turkey's role in Syria.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.